Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
For those that are brand new, we're in a series called The Armor of God, like my wife said. So if you got a copy of the scriptures, turn with me. Some of you are there already. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And by the way, if you are new, what we're simply doing, and we're looking through verse by verse, really phrase by phrase, through Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and we've been going on part 5 today, but we're talking about spiritual armor that God wants each and every single one of us to wear, because the battle that we're facing, whatever's going on in your life that you don't like it really is an attack of the enemy. We're not trying to super spiritualize it. It's just the reality that there's more happening than what you can see in the natural with your eye. Can I get an amen from somebody? Like, there's stuff that's happening. The Bible's very clear about this, not just this chapter, but all throughout the Bible, cover to cover, there's things happening that we can't see, but God doesn't want to leave us just kind of vulnerable. He wants to equip you and I. As I've been calling this, and especially even today, like, this series that we're in, this isn't like a series we needed yesterday or tomorrow. This is a right now kind of series. This is something we need right now. Because there's those of you like myself, you feel there's a spiritual attack on your life. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your relationships. Somebody in your family. Maybe it's on your finance. I don't know what it is. And you know what it is. But there's an attack going on. So this is a right now series. Today's going to be a right now message for many of us. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, let's catch up together, and then we'll get to verse 16 where we'll spend our majority of our time. Here's what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. So it does you no good to leave it at the church building, you know, after service today. It does you no good to leave it in your closet collecting dust. Like, you got to put it on every single day. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, I just talked about this, it's not against flesh and blood. It's so much more than physical. It's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Verse 13, therefore put on. Somebody shout, put on. Like, you got to put it on, the armor of God, so that when, not if, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything else, what does God want for you and I? To stand. To stand firm then with the belt of truth. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Buckled around your waist. And with the breastplate of righteousness that was here not too long ago. And we went through that. And with your feet fitted. This was last week, Father's Day. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now to verse 16. In addition to all this. So you got to put on all that other stuff, but in addition to all of that, take up. So notice there's a verb change. You go from putting on, so those other pieces you wear every single day. It's like you don't want to go out naked, right? Like, you got to put some clothes on. But I teach you this all the time. In the South, we don't say naked. We say naked, just so you know. If you're brand new, we got people from other states that have come. And so, like you don't want to go out with no clothes on, and you don't want to go out with no armor on. And so you got to put that on. But there's a verb change here, that there's going to be moments in your life. So in addition to that, you've got to take up some things. And so in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which, here's the purpose, that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil ones. We're going to talk about the shield of faith. We got to take up the shield of faith. Would you bow your heads with me in this room, and if you can, safely online? Lord, we love you so much. I thank you. God, it's so incredible what you've done already in this service, and of course, what you did in first service. But we believe, God, we got faith in this room. This is an environment of faith, and we believe, God, that you've got something fresh. And for others, maybe it's a repeat thing, but something we got to get deeper down into our soul. And so I pray, God, for your word, that it would go forth in power. We know your word is power. And we pray, God, that your word, God, it would just rest heavy upon us, that it would come into every heart, that you'd even soften hearts right now, that we'd be able to receive what you have to say. And again, God, this is not a yesterday or a tomorrow kind of series or message. This is a right now word. So I pray for right now, God, that you would use this to help equip us to face the attacks and the battles that we're in. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Shield of faith. For those that are new, I have to do this every week because we've got new people all the time. Ephesians 6, as Paul the Apostle, he's the original author, planted a lot of churches. That's kind of what apostle means, one of the aspects at least. And planted a lot of churches, Paul did, wrote a lot of the New Testament, and he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But as he's writing Ephesians chapter 6, most scholars believe that he is literally chained to a first century Roman foot soldier. And so he's got this physical image of this soldier, and he's seeing literally all the different pieces of armor, and the Holy Spirit, God himself, is inspiring him, is speaking to him, and as he sees the different pieces of armor, God is translating that to the spiritual armor that we don't literally put on, but we figuratively put it on. We definitely spiritually put it on every single day. And so as he goes through the different pieces, God is showing him different things, and it's really helping us. I know it's helping me. And then he gets to the shield of faith. Now the shield that he was seeing, again, a Roman foot soldier, the first century. You can write down some of these things if you like, and not slides for him, but it's interesting. The typical shield for a Roman foot soldier was about 4 feet tall and 2.5 feet wide. Now, just like you do nowadays, back then there was people that were really, really tall, and you even read about giants and things like that, of course. But for the typical Roman soldier, those men were shorter than average men here in our time. And so even though it was about 4 feet tall, they could crouch behind it and pretty much cover up their entire body. Now, it was made of a single piece of wood. It was wrapped typically in leather, and then it had different pieces of metal on the front. And the Roman foot soldier that would especially use a shield were the ones that were at the front lines of the battle. You've maybe seen that in war movies before. But those in the front lines, like right there in the middle of it, the first line of defense, they would have this shield to protect them and to protect others. Now, I don't have a Roman soldier first century shield. You couldn't buy one on Amazon like I bought the shoes last week. But I got a couple examples in our context. Pastor Dante's going to help me out. I know a lot of you will catch this first one right away. Here we go. Thank you so much. Awesome. Now, this one's plastic. But you get the, it's not made of vibranium, even though that's not a real thing. But anyways, so this is Captain America's shield. For those that don't know, but we've got a lot in the room that you pay attention at least a little bit to the Marvel movies. And I think this is a good example because, again, you would use it similar. Like, you would deflect and you would protect. Now, he throws his shield. They didn't throw their shields. But still, you would use it to protect your body. And I remember, and I love this scene. I know everybody, again, likes Marvel. But I love an Avengers Endgame. Some of you remember that scene at the end. And I think half of it's actually cut off at that point, and he tightens that strap like a real man, you know, just grits his teeth, and he's all dirty and bloody, Captain America, you know what I'm talking about? You've got all the Avengers, they show up, and then he finally, and finish it if you know it, but he finally shouts that famous line, "Avengers, assemble." First service didn't know that line, so y'all did better. They're so holy, they're just, you know, reading Bible all the time. But anyways, so you are too, but they're holding their shield, or he's holding his shield, Avengers assemble, and they take down Thanos, and I'm not ashamed to admit, like I tear up every single time during that scene. I'll just watch that one scene, because I just think it's so powerful. I really will. Like, I just think it's awesome. Now, this one's plastic. But it reminds me of, some of you grew up in kids' church like I did, and we used to call it Sunday school back in the day, and some of y'all still call our kids' ministry Sunday school, and that's cool, but that's not what it's called anymore. But I remember Sunday school. Anybody remember flannel boards? A couple of you? Okay, awesome. Somehow, just through the Holy Spirit, I guess, stuff would stick on that flannel board. I think it was actually like friction or whatever, or maybe it had some stick on there. But I remember in Sunday school, they would give you, not the Captain America shield, but they would give you like plastic pieces of armor to put on when you talked about Ephesians 6. But I got something even better than that. Pastor Donnie, yeah, let me trade you here. I got something actually real. Again, not the original first century, something that translates to 2022. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you so much, Pastor Dante. This is actually pretty heavy. So I'm like shaking up here. I'll rest it on my thigh. But we've got here a police, kind of like what you would see a shield at a riot or a very intense battle. Now, this is not as tall as 4 feet, but you can, again, get the idea. And so I'm 6 foot with shoes on. And so I tell people I'm 6'1", because that's how us guys do it. But anyways, so I can't crouch all the way. I hope you can see this online. But again, you get the idea that the Roman soldier would crouch behind, and this is bulletproof. They didn't have bullets back then, but they did have arrows, which we read about, and they'd be lit on fire a lot of times. And so they would crouch behind these shields, the front line, the first line of defense. And the first thing that the shield does for you, physically but also spiritually, which is what we're talking about today, would you write this down if you're taking notes? The first thing it does is it covers you. Write that down. The shield of faith covers you. Now, you get that physically, but I want to define it spiritually for you, because we're not handing out shields at the end of the service. It's something spiritually that you're to take up as you face intense battle and intense attacks of the enemy. And so it covers you. And the shield of faith, and really I just want to define faith, because in church context, a lot of times when we talk about spiritual things, even righteousness, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, a lot of times when we use these church words, they mean different things to different people. Like, I could ask 10 of you, define faith. And we think we know what it means. We sing about it, we say it, you know, we're like, yeah, but I get 10 different answers. And so I just want to make it real simple, because again, this is spiritually to take up the shield of faith. I want you to know what biblical faith is, and I want to use the Bible to help define it, because it does a way better job than I could ever do. Some of you know this verse by heart, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says this, now faith is confidence. That's the first word that I would write down if I was you. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, and it's assurance. That's the second word I would write down. Assurance about what we do not see. And so biblical faith, if you're going to take up spiritually the shield of faith as you face the attack, it is confidence and assurance in Jesus. I hope you'll write that down, and I hope that that will stick and stay with you. Now, some of you think, well, that's too elementary. I'm way advanced. I get it. But sometimes we got to relearn some things. And so I want you to know what it means and what Paul is talking about as he writes out these different pieces of armor. If you're going to take up the shield of faith, you are having confidence and assurance, not in yourself, not in your Bible knowledge, not in your perfect church attendance that you may have, not in your past experience, or not the money that you may have in the bank. When you have confidence and assurance biblically, when you have that kind of faith, you have faith in Jesus. And so the in Jesus part is critical. It is critical. Because I know a lot of people in churches that would shout that they have faith, maybe even they have more faith than most, but the reality is they have faith in themselves, faith in their background, faith in their grandma and their grandpa, and that faith that they feel like is passed down, you know, throughout. No. That's not what real biblical faith is. Biblical faith is, I am confident, I am assured in Jesus, and that's the shield that you and I should take up. Yeah, let's give God some glory. That is the kind of faith. Now here's, again, I just want to take it, I got to teach you a little bit on this. I want to pastor you well, so I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. So that's what biblical faith is. That's the shield that you take up. Now, again, there's a difference, because a lot of people do have faith, but they don't have faith in Jesus. And I'm going to prove it to you, just very practically, just real. Every single one of you in this room, whether you believe or follow Jesus or not, you have faith. The question is not, do you have faith? The question is, who do you have faith in? Okay, it's a big, big deal, the in Jesus part at the end. Prove it to you. Here's what I mean. A lot of us, and Lord help us, but a lot of us this past week, we spent a lot of time driving on Highway 290. In both services, there was like a little bit of a groan, because that's just, it's just tough, right? A lot of you are going back to work, maybe not every day, but half your week at least. And anytime you got to go on to, like, you need to be prayed up, y'all, before you get on to. Now, how many of y'all know people in Houston are crazy drivers? Can we testify of that? Like, Lord, help us. Some people, they just need to be denied when they try to renew. Like, no, sorry. We saw you on those security cameras. Like you just got, like, it's just crazy out there. And so think about going on 290. If you do it a lot or if you don't, you at least do it some if you live in the area, which we do here in the room. So think about going on 290. You and I, we have faith that when we get on 290 and we go over the overpasses, we have faith in a construction worker we've never met and a construction company, which we have no clue what their standards are, that they put the cement in the right places, that they didn't cut any corners in the process to make sure that the overpass supports all that weight. So again, I'm not questioning if you have faith. I'm questioning, who do you have faith in? Another example, if you go to a pharmacist, like, have you been to a pharmacist lately? Like, it is crazy when you roll up to CVS or Walgreens, right? Like, it is crazy. You got lines out the door in the store, lines that last forever. Yeah, like, they're in, like, goes into the parking lot from the drive-through window. And you got a pharmacist on the inside, God bless them, that they are putting together two people's prescriptions at the same time, weighing chemicals, putting in different components in the right process. At the same time, they're checking out somebody in the drive-thru and also somebody 10 feet away at the cash register in store. And you have faith that they know what they're doing. You have faith that they've got the right degree, that they got some good sleep the night before, that they're not distracted. Some of you are like, I don't have that faith anymore, Pastor. Like, all of us, we have faith in a weatherman or a weather app that they're going to predict the weather. How many of y'all know they got a real bad track record? Now, it's easy right now. Hot, hotter, hottest. You know, like, we could predict it right now. Like, it is crazy. How many of y'all know, like, you parked and then walking from your car into the building, you start to sweat a little bit. That's all. And it's still early. But so right now, it's not hard. But again, we have faith. We got faith in this app, and we look at the weather, and if it's going to rain or not, which we need rain. God, send some rain. We need some rain. I never thought I'd say that in Houston, but we need some rain. We are definitely in a drought. We see it. And so you look at your app, and you base your decisions and what you're going to wear on a weather app or a weather person that you've never met. You've got no contact. You have faith. The question is, who do you have faith in? And if you're going to have biblical faith, your faith is not in yourself. Your trust, your reliance is not in your background or in your experience or what you know or don't know about the Bible. Your faith, your confidence, and your assurance is simply in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he knows better than we know, and he's got you covered. So you could be brand new to faith, brand new to the church, brand new to, and you could still have great faith because you know who your God is. That I'm going to trust in Jesus. He is my shield. He is my fortress. He is my, am I preaching to anybody? Like, he covers me. He's got my back. He is a shield that I take up. He hasn't let me down, friend, and he's not about to start now. He ain't going anywhere. He is with me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? That's my God. Confidence and assurance. Now, is it going to look different than you think it should look? Probably. Is it going to happen at a different time than you think it should? Probably. But you trust and rely in God so much that even if it looks completely different than you think it should look, that he knows better than you. And that he's got this under, like, at the right time. He ain't ever early. We get that. But he also ain't ever late. He is right on time. And he covers you. You have faith. The real question is, who do you have faith in? And so the Apostle Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, he writes this down. Hey, you need to take up that shield of faith. You know what that is. Maybe you knew before, but it's just gotten a little bit deeper in your soul, and that's cool too. But he says, take that up. And the reason why is that when the devil, we read this, when he shoots fiery darts at your life spiritually, those flaming arrows, that not only, read it again, if you already closed it, open it back up, not only to stop the arrow, but to extinguish the arrow. I didn't tell you this, at least I don't think so. Sometimes the services run together, so forgive me. But what they would do, these soldiers, is they would dip that shield in water before the battle. I think it's so cool. And they would just get it soaking wet. And as they took up their shield, the flaming arrow, yes, it would be stopped by the wood and the leather and the pieces of metal, but it would also be extinguished. It'd be snuffed out. How many of y'all know it's good to block it, but when that flaming arrow hits, it would kind of be like a mini bomb and explode that fire. And it's almost like a Molotov cocktail, right? Like it just shoots some fire out as it would hit. So not only do you need to stop that arrow, but you need to make sure that the arrow is extinguished so it doesn't cause more issues or more, so it doesn't get your brother in arms, your sister in arms beside you, so it doesn't launch fire over your head. And that's one of the tactics they would do, by the way, is they would shoot over that front line to try to make it where they couldn't retreat. So they got not only the attack from the front, but the fire literally breathing down their neck behind them. And so it was so important, not just to block the flaming arrow, but to extinguish it, to put it out. And so today and every day that you feel an attack, you take up that shield of faith. Now, maybe you're here and you're like, Pastor, I want that faith. Where do you buy it? Like, I need some of that. Can I borrow some more? No, you can't. You can't live off of somebody else's faith. You can't live off your pastor's faith. You can't live off of your spouse's faith or your grandma who got you in church, you know, years. Like, it's got to be your own faith. But I also have good news for you. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Some of you know this passage too. I'm going to read out the New King James Version translation. Same Bible, different translation. It's my favorite. It's old school mixed with new school, New King James Version. Here's what it says. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to read that again. I know some of you know it, but others don't. If your faith tank is low, if you're like, I need some more faith, my shield is like half complete, Pastor. If you need more faith in your tank to be filled up in your life, it comes by hearing, and not just hearing anything, hearing the word of God. So think about this spiritually right now. You're not just listening to some pastor in skinny jeans shout at you and spit at you. You are hearing the word of God and faith right now. You can't see it, but remember, we're not led by our sight. Faith right now, as I preach God's word to you, it's being deposited in your life. And guess what? What comes in one day is going to come out the next day. You are actually in the spiritual battle right now, and your shield of faith is being taken up. There is fresh faith deposited in your soul, and it's going to come out later to protect you. And so if you don't have faith, you need to hear God's voice more. And so let me ask you a rhetorical question. That means don't answer it out loud. You answer it in your heart, in your mind. Whose voice is the loudest in your life? Because that's going to come out of you eventually. Is it that pessimistic friend that you have that it ain't glass half full, it's glass empty? There's no glass. You know, it's just like they could have won the lottery, you know, and like everything been perfect, but they find, well, my grass, you know, there's just dead right there. You know, it's just they find something. We all get those people. If you came with that person, don't you dare nudge them right now. But like, we know people like that. Like, that can't be your loudest voice. I'm going to make somebody mad with this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Fox News or CNN should not be the loudest voice in your life. Like, I just got to tell it, like, that's not what you need the most. What you need the most to build up that shield of faith is to hear God's voice. And it's not just on a Sunday, even though that's important. What you're doing right now, again, this spiritual, this is important. Like, you need this, I need this. We got to sit underneath the teaching and preaching of God's word. But how many of y'all know, I don't roll with you Monday through Saturday, you know, checking up. Did you read your word today? That's weird, right? Like, you're your own man. You're your own woman. It is up to you to hear from God Monday through Saturday. And if you're like, well, I don't know, Pastor, because I hear people all the time, well, you just know how to, like, dissect it. And like, you just got to get it in you. You don't have to come up with 3 points to preach to somebody. You just need to receive it. Like, you just need to hear it. I spend time in God's, it's not even a crazy long time, but consistently, even if it's just one verse, I spend time every day. It could even be 30 seconds, but every day I'm getting a God's word in me, not to preach to you, but because I need it, because there's battles that I'm facing. And so you need, if you have a hard time reading, there's an app on your phone. We talk about it all the time. YouVersion Bible, it can read it to you out loud. You can make God sound British. You can make God sound like Morgan Freeman. I'm serious. You can do whatever you want. Like it's there and it's free. You can turn it on as you drive. And even if you feel like you're not getting every, I'm telling you, there's something spiritual happening on the, oh, I'm going to preach to somebody now. You may not use it today. You may not need it tomorrow. But at the exact right time, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of what you've heard over and over again. And you're going to take up your shield of faith and it's going to cover you. Gonna cover you. You need it. You need the right. This is a right now message. I need this so desperately. I've got to have a shield of faith. Take. You don't carry the shield everywhere with you. It's not like the clothes that you got to have on all the time. Please wear your clothes. Like it's not that. It's certain moments when the flaming arrows are attacking your life that you take it up, because that shield is heavy. That shield is heavy, but certain moments where you're like, hey, I need some extra faith. I need to make sure, like, I got to be in the right place. And so I wrote down a couple of things. We're talking about, y'all know I want to be real practical. We're talking about flaming arrows, and I wrote down a couple of things that this could be in your life. Because, again, the devil is shooting fiery darts at you and me, and here's what they look like. Because, of course, it's not physical, it's spiritual. Those fiery darts, they can be temptation for some. And you got to take up your shield. You know, maybe it's somebody back, you know, 20 years ago from you know, like from high school or college, and all of a sudden they slide into your DMs on Facebook or Instagram, and they're acting like they're just trying to catch up with you, but really they're trying to holler at you, and yet you're married, and they know you're married. It could be that. It could be somebody at the office that they're just showing you so much love and so much attention, and you don't feel like you're getting that at home. Like, I don't know what it is. It could be substance abuse. We have an epidemic in our nation, by the way. I don't know if you know this. They don't talk about it a lot, but opioids, like, it's a real big deal. And people just pop in pills and getting way too much on their prescription. And once the physical pain is gone, they're still trying to medicate the spiritual and emotional pain that they feel. I'm preaching to somebody right now. That could be your fiery dart. Temptation. The devil is launching it into your life. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's failure. Maybe it's insecurity or just straight up lies of the devil. There are darts that are being shot at you. And if you don't take up the shield of faith, you don't have a chance. But God, being as good as he is, he's like, I'm going to equip you, but he partners with us. So notice that he doesn't just pop in front of you. You got to put your faith into action. That's what James talks about. You got to put some steps to your faith. Faith without works is dead. There should be some movement that, God, I am trusting you. I am relying on you. I'm making your voice the loudest. I'm raising up the volume on your word, and I'm lowering the volume of everything else. And as I do that, I know I'm covered. I know I'm covered. Point number two, I'm almost done. It covers you, the shield of faith. You get that physically. We talked about it spiritually. But number two, maybe you've never gone here before, but it's just as important. When you take up the shield of faith, it also connects you. Pastor Tony, help me finish out this sermon. It connects you. This is maybe the angle that you've never thought about before, but it's so, so important. You see, back in those biblical times with the Roman foot soldiers, what they would do is they wouldn't stand so low and then have, like, you know, a few feet and then the next soldier. They would actually stand shoulder to shoulder. And what they would do literally is the Roman foot soldiers would connect their shields to one another. Historians that study that time period, they say that there was lots of instances because of the size of the Roman Empire. There was a lot of occasions, or at least a few, that frontline foot soldiers, that they would connect together and it would go over a mile wide. So you can picture that in your, I mean, that's a long way. So they would connect together. But they wouldn't just connect side by side, shoulder to shoulder. They would also have another group that would come from behind and protect them over the top. They actually call it turtle formation. Like turtles in a half shell, turtle power kind of stuff. You know, Ninja Turtles. Like, it was awesome. And we got a picture. Can you show that, Peter, here in the room and online? That's what it would look like. Turtle formation. So you've got those in the front. It's connected. And again, this is like from a movie or something. So they didn't look just like that, but at least gives you a really good image. And you've seen this in movies like Troy or Gladiator. And by the way, don't email me. I'm not saying everything's good in those movies. You know, it's just like, it is what it is. But like, you've seen it before. And they would connect together, each soldier, shoulder to shoulder. That's hard to say, but they would connect together. And then there'd be another group on top. And when they would launch those flaming arrows, the soldiers were protected on all sides and also over the top. But not only that, in turtle formation, that's when the Roman soldiers would attack. And so it's not just defense, y'all. And in fact, we're about to get to it a couple weeks from now. We're going to talk about the sword, the word of the Lord. Yeah, we're going to talk about that, the sword, the word of God. And then we're going to talk about even praying, because that's actually one of the weapons that you can. We're going to get to all of that. But it's not just defense. When they would get in turtle formation, they could actually attack back against the enemy. And I just felt like God gave me this image of us as Christ's covenant. That each Sunday when we gather together, it's turtle formation, y'all. Turtle power. That we're connecting together. We got people coming over the top. That we are lifting our faith. We are lifting our eyes to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this. Some of you know this as well. That Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Some translations say perfecter. But author and finisher of our faith. And so on Sundays, and especially next week, and if you're in town, be here. I'm going to be here. It's going to be great. If you're out of town for July 4th, that's cool. Watch it online. The next time you're in service, hopefully next week, when you worship, I want you to picture turtle formation. That even though you may not know the people beside you or in front of you or behind you, that you are connecting your faith spiritually with them. That you are lifting your eyes. We are lifting our eyes collectively to Jesus. That our eyes are off of our situations, they're off of the defeat, and we are lifting our eyes up to Him. And our faith actually connects us together. And that we become a barrier, a wall, a fortress. That all the flaming darts and arrows of the enemy, not only are we protected, but the flames are snuffed out in Jesus' name. But not only that, hear me, friend. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Not only that, but as we lift our hands and lift our eyes up to Jesus, it's not just defense, baby. We go on the attack against the enemy. We start moving forward. And I fight for you, and you fight for me. You got an issue in your marriage? Guess what? I'm going to believe God with you, that God's got something special, that it ain't over until He says it's over. And He can heal even the most broken relationship that you may have. When there's an issue going on in my physical body, you're like, oh no, Pastor, I got your back. And we connect shields together. We lift up our eyes to Jesus. And not only does it protect us, but we actually take ground against the enemy. We say, not on our watch. Not in this church, not with my brother or sister. We have the same blood, the blood of Christ running through our veins. We are saved and sanctified by Jesus. We serve a greater King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is with us, and we're going to put our faith into action. This is why Christianity was never meant to be a solo sport. You can have the greatest shield, the greatest faith, but you're still vulnerable on the sides and over top and in the back. And so you got to connect your shield with men and women of faith. And when you don't have enough faith, they're like, I got you. I'll have faith for you and help you out. When they don't have enough, you're like, I got you. Let me pray for you. We're going to get through this together. I'm telling you, this is what the bride of Christ was always meant to be. That we would do life together, that we would live together. We're like, I got your back. We're in this together. I ain't going anywhere. We're going to fight together. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. not only are we going to have defense, not only are we covered, but we're going to connect together and move forward to accomplish everything God has for us. Turtle power. Say that a couple of times this week. Just remind you, it's turtle power. Like it, we connect together and we move forward to attack back. And I'm telling you, I think even Pastor Tony maybe even spoke this out prophetically during one of the songs. But I know you've said it before at least, but we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. The battle's over. I think that's what you said. Like it's the battle's over. We just stand and we just move forward in everything that Jesus has for us. And we're going to do that together. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. Jesus, thank you. Our confidence and our assurance is not in ourselves. It's not in somebody else, a mere man or a mere woman. It's not in our experience, not in our bank account, not in our Bible knowledge or our church attendance. Our faith, our confidence, our assurance is in you. You are our shield, our great protector, our refuge, our safe place. And so I pray for those like myself, they feel like they're being spiritually attacked right now, whatever that looks like. I pray for those like myself, they feel like there's flaming darts coming after them. I pray, God, that right now, they would take up that shield of faith. They didn't look good right now, but God, I'm not led by my sight. I'm led by my faith. I know the circumstance, it's tough, it's difficult. I'm not pretending it's not. But the reality is I take my eyes off of the circumstance, off of the defeat, and I lift my eyes up to you, Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I've got confidence and assurance that you're gonna come through, not how I think you should, but how you know you should. That's my confidence. Nothing's caught you off guard. That bad diagnosis hasn't caught you off guard. That hurting relationship, that hurting marriage, that brokenness, it has not caught you off guard. That addiction that I'm trying so hard to hide and defeat in my own strength, it hadn't caught you off guard. And I pray, God, that faith would rise up right now amongst your people. That brothers and sisters in Christ, we would connect our shields together. We would get our eyes lifted up to you. And not only, Lord, would you protect, but God, we take back, we move forward, we advance forward together. God, I pray also for those underneath the sound of my voice in the room and online that they have faith, but they haven't had faith until today in you. I pray today would be their day of salvation. I pray it, God, with all my heart, that even now they would feel and sense your Holy Spirit drawing them unto yourself, that they would bow their knee to you, to put their faith in you and really even on you, that they would say to you and declare to you, Jesus, you are my God. I put my trust in you and you alone. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to clean me up from the inside out, to save me, to rescue me. I pray, God, that there be at least one that would give their life to you for the first time, or maybe they're even a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter coming on home. God, I pray that they would not miss their moment. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just want to be real with you. This could be your last opportunity. You just never know. I'm not trying to scare you into it. I'm just being real. You don't want to have a hardened heart before the Lord. You want to keep your heart soft and pure. So I pray, God, for anybody that's them, that they want to put their faith in you. You won't make them. I can't make them. It's a free will choice, a free will decision. I pray they wouldn't miss their moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Here's how you do that. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says this, just listen to it, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you're saved. That's how you give your life to Jesus. Now, it's not the finish line, it's the starting line, but that's where you start. So it's about confession and belief. And right now, you have that opportunity, even online. You can just whisper to Jesus. He wants to hear from you. It doesn't have to be like a big scene thing. Like, just whisper to him. Whisper this: Jesus, I confess that you are God. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross like it really happened, and that 3 days later you rose from the dead. That's what we celebrate as Easter. So I believe that, and I believe in you. And so right now, this is so important that you ask him this. Jesus, right now, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to clean me up, to save me, to rescue me. I can't save myself. I'll never be good enough for that, but you are good enough. You are so good, so holy, so powerful. And so I pray, Jesus, that you'd forgive me of my sin, that you'd make me new from the inside out, that you'd wash over my past and all those things that I regret, that you'd forgive me, set me free. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction right now. You can whisper to him, Jesus. And even in your mind, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but even in your mind, you can talk to him to say, Lord, not only would you save me, but would you also heal me of that addiction? Would you set me free? God, would you do a great work in me? Something supernatural. Would you do a miracle in me? God, thank you for those that are being honest with you, that are surrendering their life. It's the best decision they could ever make. And I pray, God, from this day forward, that in moments of attack, they would take up their shield of faith, their trust, their confidence, their assurance in you, that you are with them, that you are for them, that you cover them, but there's also believers all around them that they can connect with to be protected and to move forward together. God, we give you glory for what you've done today in this service. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.